out with you this afternoon. We are happy about bringing back a feature we've done in the past here. It's been a few months since we've been able to get anyone in here, but it's Teacher Feature. If you've listened before, it's a great chance to get to know some of the teachers around the Minneapolis Public School District. And I mentioned before the break that we are pleased to welcome in studio with us the Special Teacher of the Year Award recipient from the 2010 Minnesota Council for Exceptional Children. Her name is Stephanie Morseth. And good afternoon. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good to have you here. And tell us, first of all, about how you found out about this award. You were nominated by a peer, is that right?
Yep, I was nominated by my lead teacher, Elizabeth Carlson, and she sent in some paperwork over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I found out I won the award in late January, and I was shocked.
You were shocked.
Yes.
Is that an understatement or in a good way, right?
In a good way, yeah, very much so. I mean, I do work hard, and I can confidently say that. I put 110% into my job. I come from rural North Dakota.
Okay.
I came from a background where I didn't even know what a suburb was or what that concept was. I still don't know how to use the city buses. I come from a WASP background where, yeah, I was privileged and I had a car. So, I mean, I had a lot to learn about the cities before I moved here, and I'm still learning, and my students and I laugh at the differences between us.
Well, there's room. That's what diversity is all about, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's all about rural people, urban people.
And I'm still learning a lot.
Okay. Well, tell us where you started. You started in St. Cloud, is that right?
I started in St. Cloud, and I got my education there. I originally wanted to be on TV, but I just didn't have that type of personality, I guess.
Like
or the look, I should say. Yeah.
Actor, journalist?
Actress, broadcasting, okay. Anything.
Okay.
I was in theater arts also. And then I went to the cities to find a job. Couldn't find a job. I got my education background in social studies for high school. And they kept saying, you should do math or science because that's where the jobs are.
Okay.
But I didn't want to do math or science. I really have a passion for social studies and geography, history. And I got here, couldn't find a job. The only job I could find was being a student assistant for a student with Asperger's, which is part of the autism spectrum, down in, I think it was, Rosemount.
Okay.
And I work with a child there, and I really loved that, working with kids with special needs. And I found an ad in the city pages for student education
assistant.
Just perusing
through the paper?
Yeah,
and, okay.
In Minneapolis. I wanted a teaching job. I applied for a whole bunch of teaching jobs, couldn't find a job. And I finally applied for Minneapolis, and I couldn't even get an SEA job, which is a student education assistant job, at first. But then through the second round, I got one. And I started teaching a little bit in my social studies class. The teacher I worked for let me teach for him because I love to teach.
Okay.
And then one teacher left, and I took his position. And then Don Allen, who was a leader at the time, gave me this opportunity to go to Urban Education Program, the Q program in St. Thomas. So I went there, got my education, got my master's degree, and now for the seventh year, I've been working at a program called the Special Programming for Adolescents in Needs. It's called SPAN, and it's for middle school students.
Okay.
So that's my background. Did I talk too much?
No, that's perfect. That's
okay.
What you're here to do, actually.
Okay.
It's all about getting to know you, for
yes.
Sure. Talk a little bit about the types of kids you work with. Special needs, you said, there's a whole encompassment of that, isn't there?
Yes,
they come from a variety
of... A lot of our students have the background of EBD, which is emotional behavior disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Also, learning disabilities. And there are some OHD, which are other health disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
Most of our students need more academic support and more behavior support than what the general ed, which are federal settings 1 and 2, can provide for. So those students come to us. I can get up to 12 kids in a classroom with 3 staff in a classroom, which with me and 2 other aides.
Okay.
So that's pretty much our setting. I teach social studies to them. And again, that's where my passion is. And I'm a little hyperactive. So it works out very nicely. And some people hate the way I teach and some people love the way I teach. But overall, I work hard and I try to adapt to all students.
Okay. How do you prepare yourself to work? I mean, can you study it academically? Is it a combination of that or just emotional things? I mean, it's got to take a combination of, you know, intellectual and
absolutely.
Just general passion for that.
I think it's a mix. I think all teachers need to love what they're teaching, and sometimes that's not the case. I love social studies. I am, again, big into the theater art scene. I love performing. So it kind of works out. And the students are hyperactive. They like attention. Most of my students love attention.
Okay.
What got them in my program, some of them, in the first place, was screwing around in class sometimes.
Okay.
So why not give them the opportunity to get appropriate attention?
Sure.
So we act out a lot of our history. I make little small plays from our history book. I mean, they can be 30 seconds long as they're getting in front of the class and acting something out.
Just little vignettes that you come up with on your own?
Okay. Yeah, and right now we're doing History Day, and that's a national competition. And what that is that they have to research a project. Now, some of their strengths are not researching, but some of their strengths are getting in front of a crowd and speaking.
Hmm.
So I give them that opportunity. And all sixth graders, and I try to follow the Minnesota state standards. I don't care if these students have learning disabilities or EBD or whatever you call it. I'm still going to try to follow those Minnesota state standards. And one of the standards is they're going to research and present a project by the time they're in sixth grade. And so they have to get in front of the class and give a 5-minute speech.
So you're trying to tap into that energy in positive ways.
Yes, absolutely.
And encouragement.
These students are some of the best public speakers in their. And people don't pay that much attention to
them. It's funny
how
that comes naturally to some people.
Yes.
And I'm the opposite. I mean, I'd rather research something than get up in front of a group of people. So, I mean, that's...
Yep. And I try to find... And there are the select few students that don't want to
get in
front.
You get some that are shy that maybe don't want to... Do you find ways to egg them on nicely, or do you not require them to do it? How does that...
I still require them to do that, but I will help them, I say. And I'll sit right next to them if that's... And I'll get them going. Like, I'll say a couple lines, and they say a couple lines.
Okay.
But overall, the majority of my population loves attention. So give them that opportunity to get in front of the crowd and speak.
That's where you start. You build a foundation on that.
Yes.
Well, you're doing some other, I think, interesting and creative things there. Something a little bit that I was reading about here is the visitation thing for high schools. I mean, everyone thinks of high school kids visiting colleges, but you've developed something there. Tell us about that.
Yes. I remember being in eighth grade, and I had a nice, smooth... No, it was sixth grade, yeah. Sixth grade to seventh grade, that was that rural thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But we visited the high school, and we had a clean transition. They talked to us about what is required at high school, what a credit is. A lot of my kids get passed through the system.
Okay.
And I don't know what the answer to all that is. Some of them come from backgrounds or grades where they gotten Fs on everything and then passed to the next grade. Again, that's a controversial thing. I'm not getting into that. But I'm going to stick with something that I found a solution to maybe helping them in high school. I developed a mock credit system, which means I give them their grades, and I start this in sixth grade, and I give them fake credits. And they have to see that they have to earn their way out of high school. They just can't get passed through the system. And some of them didn't understand that when I first talked to them about that. They just figure, I'm just going to get my diploma like that. I don't have to work. I can just show up to school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's all I got to do. Show up.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way at all. And so I'm giving them a reality check before they get into high school and then really screw around and lose everything.
Yeah.
So I've started that off. We visited Washburn High School last year, and the other SPAM program, the high school SPAM program, talked to us, showed us around, gave us a tour. And the neat thing about that was that some students advocated for themselves and said, you know, this high school is too big for me. I need something smaller for myself, which is really important for those students to start doing and realizing what their strengths and weaknesses are. Because some of them do think that they're invisible and can just float on through.
Sure.
So that's what I have been doing, and I think we're successful.
Real world lessons. Well, obviously somebody else thinks that too, since you
just won this
award. We're going to wrap up our visit in just a moment with Stephanie Morseth. She's the teacher feature this week, and she won the Special Teacher of the Year Award from the 2010 Minnesota Council for Exceptional Children. And we're going to talk just a couple more minutes with her. And Teacher Feature rolling on Jazz 88, Kevin O'Connor, and we have the pleasure in the company of Stephanie Morseth of Anderson United Community School, who on February 18th was awarded the 2010 Special Teacher Award from the Minnesota Council for Exceptional Children. And what is entailed in this award? What do they do? They just get you up there in front of everyone and say, good job? Is there
I got a plaque. Okay. I mean, it was just such an honor.
Yeah.
And then I had to give a thank you speech, and my brain is two steps behind because I have a newborn right now.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm just trying to wrap things around this whole concept of having a newborn and being a working mom, and it's tough work.
Okay.
I didn't ever think it would be, but it's tough.
What kind of, how many kids do you have in a class in a given year?
I can have up to 12.
Okay.
And it's hard sometimes, very hard, especially when you have some students that are seeking out negative attention and mm-hmm. trying to get the rest on task without them being distracted. And I try my best at doing that and redirecting, and hopefully they get on task. If not,
I always wondered, do you get a lot of support for that? If something, say, hypothetically might get a little out of control in the classroom or something, is it kind of up to you to deal with that, or is that?
Nope. We're quite fortunate. We've been working together for 5 years. We got a rapport with each other about what to do. We have plans for all students, and we go over them, with their families at the IEP meeting, which is an individual education plan, and everybody has a behavior intervention plan. There's all these acronyms in special ed. everybody has a plan.
Keeps it easy to remember, right?
Yes.
They're mnemonics, I guess.
Yep, yeah. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it does, and we have to keep going with that and adapting. It's about consistency at being flexible at the same time, and that's a really hard balance to find in special ed.
Yeah, so. I imagine it must be.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely have your work cut out for you. It sounds like you're really sinking your teeth into it, though.
I'm trying to raise a kid at the same time, and it's hard.
That's okay.
So, yeah.
That's what being so young is all about.
Oh, I try. Getting older every second, though. Right. I'm feeling it.
All right. Any big plans coming up for the getting toward the the second half of the year?
We just got through with African American History Month.
Okay.
And what I had the kids do is fifth grade class did PowerPoint presentations, and that's their speech that they're going to have to give in front of their peers.
Okay.
So they're going to learn listening skills and getting over heckling in the audience too. Well, I'm sure that will happen sometimes, so we're going to be working on public speeches.
Try to use a little peer coaching to get them not to do that.
Yes, March is a hard time for me because I have to do the History Day competition and then just getting students to present on things. So that's where we're at right now.
All right.
Just getting through March to spring break, and then the other plans will set in place and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, Stephanie Morseth, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing that good work you do.
Thank you.
On Jazz 88 and Teacher Feature.
Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.